Okay, I guess we're recording now. Geez, Linda. I don't even want to talk about it.
Is it good? Are we recording?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
No, but I'm like 99% sure. I did a test.
Do you want to stop and listen to it and then see?
That's what I already did, so that's okay. Why I'm 99% sure. But it's not giving me any active feedback that we're recording. But you know what? I really thought I had made a lot of improvements to this since we last spoke. And it's been a while. And
apparently not. Been a while.
Okay, so get this. I set it all. Okay, I'm going to talk about it briefly, apparently. I set it all up. It's been a while. Yeah, I hear you. And I have this all set up, so I just have to use my one audio interface, so I don't have to change any weird setups. Before, I was using virtual audio devices to route your audio through a different channel in the internal audio device, so I could just record it on a separate channel, and that wasn't working consistently. And so I upgraded everything, and I have this all set up through this, this hardware device sitting on my desk here, tap, 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 and it works in the sense that I'm looking at it right now. We got the two channels. I started recording. I hit call. And when I called you, I could see the ringing on your audio interface. My audio track was also working just fine. And then when you pick up, it like errors. It like breaks GarageBand. It says like, everything's too hard and I can't keep up. And I quit. And then I quit GarageBand and restarted it. And now it lets me record, but it, none of the waveforms are showing up. So I'm doing it in QuickTime. But Linda, I don't care about any of that. I mean, I do
care.
I'm
very frustrated. Guess what, Andy?
But I love you and I miss you. Hello.
I miss you. And I just got another fucking breakup. Just another one again.
Linda. You've been through so much.
I lost my job.
Is that the breakup you're talking about?
No.
And
this
also
is an
breakup.
An addition to... Oh,
Linda.
I am like a ball of fire right now. I'm really...
You sound like, you know, fired up. You don't sound like you're in a deep depressive hole. You sound like you're engaged. You're screaming into the abyss.
I wish that men of our generation were forced into therapy at like age, I don't know, 11, and had to stay there to understand their contributions to society and world and women. And it's amazing how... Andy.
I don't know whether you're talking about the breakup or the firing, but either way, let's just keep it ambiguous. it probably applies in both cases.
My rage is focused just towards... like men in general. It's like just the complete absence of self-awareness and an ability to articulate one's emotions. It's like the basic shit that you should learn as a child. And women are like overly trained in this. And then men are taught that they don't have to, and that it's actually a woman's job to do all that shit, and you should just be left alone to do whatever the fuck you want, and you can ignore women. And it's our job to just sit there and do what I learned the phrase is hermeneutic labor. It's not an emotional labor.
Say that phrase again.
Hermeneutic. It's like the labor of like dissecting the relationship and figuring out what it needs and like doing all the work and like thinking about it. And then men are just like, well, if you could just leave me alone, that'd be great. And so there's just this imbalance where, like, women are overly concentrated on this stuff. And men are like, I feel like I deserve to just be left alone. Why can't it just be good forever? So anyways, I am currently the ball of fire just about this and about how this isn't just one person. This is just, like, in my experience, most men just – and it's not their fault. It's all of our conditioning. It's like –
it could be a little bit their fault. Look, I'm with you. You've been through this so many times. I feel like this is a recurring frustration of yours, and I have heard many of your complaints, and they feel so valid to me. And I think we can both recognize this is a societal structural problem with expectations that are placed on men and how boys are raised. And also say, hey, maybe everybody should all do a little bit to try and get over that and recognize it as a problem instead of just being like, oops, society may be this way.
Right, exactly. And then there's just like, you know, I feel like most of the guys that I've dated in the last year have done enough of the emotional labor and therapying to just be so dangerous because
You
they put
learn the
up this,
language.
yes, they put up the idea that they are that kind of person and that they're doing the work. And so they learn all of the ways to get you to trust them and to put your heart in their fucking hands. And then they're just like everybody else. They
It's
just don't want to
actually a
talk about
personal
it.
boundary
They
of
just don't want to
mine.
think about it.
I'm setting a personal boundary that I need you to do all the emotional labor, and that's important for my mental health and my personal boundaries.
Yeah, but if you do too much, or like when I'm not expecting it, or when I'm like it's inconvenient for me, then actually I don't want you to do it. I want you to just kind of like go away and pretend everything's fine. Yeah. Fuck that. Ugh.
Linda, I'm so
So
sorry.
it's okay. I'm just kicking myself because like I caught myself saying this to you and to a few other people where I'm like, you know, it's one of those where it's just like when it's bad, it's fucking awful and terrible. And when it's good, it's really fucking good. And so I'm fighting for the good part. And that's just classic psychological manipulation. It's just fawning. It's just somebody like learning what it takes to keep you in that sweet spot until like the facade starts to crumble and then there's frustration and like anger and all kinds of really unhealthy patterns. And then it's like to get you back, there's all this fawning, this like really intense like love and like talking about having kids and like what their names would be.
Oof. Oof.
Like, don't say that shit.
Linda, that's awful. I'm utterly embarrassed to say this, but I saw this viral TikTok on the internet. And look, TikTok's not installed on my phone. It's fine if it's installed on your phone, no judgment, but you know, I try to avoid these sorts of viral things, but I got suckered in by, you know, a clickbaity thumbnail. And what it was this like, you know, muscular, young, handsome, bro-looking dude. And it was a TikTok of him describing why he'd be the worst boyfriend. And he was basically like, I'm the worst boyfriend because I'll tell you I love you every single day. And I'm the worst
Ew.
boyfriend because I'll support you whatever you want to do. But it was intercut with this woman, because I guess it's a thing you can do on TikTok. You can, like, you know, remix and edit and blah, blah, blah. It
Right.
was intercut with this woman after he says something explaining why that behavior is like so fucked up and toxic. And I think it is a very powerful thing, where, you know, he's basically like, I'll tell you I love you every single day. And she's like, so what I'm saying I'm gonna do is I'm gonna like love bomb you and overwhelm you with affection to make you ignore all the things that are bad about me and try and make you feel guilty for doing anything to upset me. And it's, I don't know, it was
Yep.
very, I was struck by the viral TikTok. They got me, Linda. They got me with their fucking clickbait, and they did it.
It's so true though. It's all about like not disturbing the emotional balance. But here's the thing. I'm not trying to say that like there's a perfect person out there who's not like we all have our flaws. We all have our patterns. We all have like I am definitely deeply flawed. And it's just like learning self-awareness, I think, is like the most important skill that so many people just don't even have yet. Just like being able to articulate what is going on inside of you? And it doesn't even have to be you. Like your feelings are not you. They are just an experience that you're having. And to be able to like articulate those well and to say what you need to get through them safely without ca causing psychological or like emotional harm to the people around you. Like those are just the two basic things that I would love to find in another person. And
People
it's, I guess
are
it's hard.
really uncomfortable confronting or acknowledging or accepting any flaws in their like deepest, truest self, which I think is a big barrier to people actually engaging with what you're describing, because self-reflection of like, hey, I'm feeling jealous, or hey, I'm feeling betrayed, or like things that you intellectually think you shouldn't feel, you try and talk yourself out of. And then you just feel like you're a bad person if you acknowledge those things. And so people don't have the, I think, I don't even know what the word is. They don't have the like presence of mind or the like the sense of self to acknowledge that there are parts of them that are flawed and not perfect. And the result of that is just never engaging with anything deeper than some like shallow intellectual layer of what they know they're supposed to say or do.
Right. It's then anything that feels like a criticism of that
is just met with like deflection and anger and defensiveness and like really unhelpful things. And then the women, or, you know, marginalized people who are put in these situations where they have to take care of other people's feelings, are overly sensitized to them and can tell when things are going on. And it's, yeah, just an incompatibility that I really wish I listened to my gut. I ended it about a month or so ago. I just caught up with you a few weeks ago and told you all this stuff. But for the listener, this was, I ended it when it got to its like least healthy point. And then the fawning got me back. And I'm just like, damn it. Like, you think you're mature enough or grown enough to like not fall for that kind of stuff, but it feels good.
Yeah.
<You know?
laughs> Yeah.
So anyway, so you're catching me in a raw moment.
Look, I'll take Linda in whatever form I can get her. I especially love the raw Linda, you know? I like to be real. I like to keep it real, Linda.
This is a version you don't get to see very often, which is why I was like, you know what? I'm just going to fucking own it today. I'm just going to let it out.
I love it. I mean, you know, you're between jobs. You got nothing to lose, you know? what kind of public face are you trying to keep up? You're a human being with real feelings.
Would get me fired?
No, I don't know. I mean, I feel like you definitely have like a public persona professionally. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I wonder if you are reserved on the podcast because you see yourself as this like public professional. In the past, you know, we've been talking about some gross shit and you've been like, oh no, my, you know, coworkers listening to this. I know they told me they checked out my podcast and they're going to turn it on and hear us talking about butts or whatever. I don't know. I've definitely felt in the past a sense of reserve a little bit on the show, which makes sense. It's recorded. It's released to the public. So you wouldn't be 100% raw, but I like the raw Linda.
Yeah, just a moment for you, because I mean, this is like the real shit. I don't know. This is stuff that people go through all the time and don't talk about. And especially when it's something that I feel like if anybody is in that situation right now where they're like, well, it's really fucking awful when it's bad, but then sometimes it's so good. Like if you're saying that, please just get out.
Yeah, it's a fucked up cycle.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm like, maybe this is one of those things that like is helpful to talk about.
I think it's all helpful to talk about. I think, I don't know. I'm such a big believer in talking about everything all the time publicly. And the idea of like, oh, that's, we don't talk about that in polite company, or like, oh, keep that to yourself. Like, I don't know. Like, fuck that. Like, we're all humans living this weird human experience. And, I don't know. I think it's helpful for people to hear. I know I have been benefited so much from hearing people talk about things that some people might say, oh, you shouldn't talk about that this way or publicly or whatever. And it's helped me a lot. So,
right. I know.
Linda, you deserve something great. You put so much into this stuff. You've been putting yourself out there for so long, which I want to just, you know, acknowledge how, like, positive that is in and of itself. I have some friends that, like, want something but are unwilling to put themselves out there either at all or emotionally. And you, like, have been putting yourself on the line. You've, like, barely been trying and giving your all to these relationships. And that's a great trait. You've given everyone you've been with a beautiful chance to get to experience, like, a deep, profound part of you. And that takes a lot. It takes a lot of bravery. And it means that you are putting yourself out there to get hurt. And it sucks. But I want to acknowledge that that's great. That's very good of you.
Yeah. Oh, you're making me cry.
I don't mean to make you cry, but I love you.
No, it cries. It's all part of it. Like, this is life. It's like, I'm really feeling stuff right now, and I'm grateful to be alive, to be having emotions, even when they're big and scary.
Yeah, you're in it right now, girl.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's hard to put yourself out there. And so, you know, this is why I'm even more angry, is because, like, I'm very skeptical of people. And I thought that I was done with relationships like this one, like, years ago.
Sure.
The kind that just have, like, unhealthy patterns that really, you know, are not safe. But so there's that kind of, like, shame side of it. And then there's also, I don't let people date me until
I see like some sort of an emotional connection. So it took like months of just being friends.
Right.
And like being like, okay, like prove that this is safe, please. And not even a month into the relationship is when all the problems started. And so I'm like, but by then I guess it was too late because I was already kind of emotionally invested. But
I mean, it's not too late. Maybe you're getting really good at recognizing this stuff earlier, you know, instead of investing a lot of time into something and then realizing that it's not right.
Right. I mean, like, this is definitely true. There's personal growth here for sure. And therapy has helped a lot. And yeah, I think that when I was a lot younger, I would just get into relationships like these and like not even ever assert myself or my needs or what I want. And there might even be some like semblance of peace where it seems like everything is just good and fine, but it's because only one person gets to have their needs met. And
it's at least simple. It's an answer to be like, oh, here's how we resolve all conflict. Like I simply absorb it all. There's no meta conflict. Right. There's no talking about the conflict because the answer is clear. Like there's definitely something to
like
that.
Yes, and I think that's like the boomer normative, like,
yes,
relationship. Yeah, boomer heteronormative relationship where, yeah, the housewife's job is to just sit there and absorb the pain of the family.
I do think that's like the emotional articulation of that like conservative worldview and view on relationships that obviously none of those men are actually emotionally self-aware enough to acknowledge this or like articulate it, but I think that's what it is. It's like, people are like, oh, well, this just works, right? This is like how relationships are supposed to be. And what they're describing is this like complete emotional offloading onto women for the most part. And they're like, this is how it's supposed to be. I feel better in this relationship. It's better than your, you know, whatever liberal leftist queer relationship where you're doing stuff weird and everyone's in therapy. Like that's bad.
Yeah.
Like they're like, it's not working, look, you're all in therapy. It's like, no, you don't get it.
Oh my god,
you
when
don't
people
understand.
Say stuff like that, I just laugh. Or like I've heard like Fran Lebowitz was saying like yeah, this person's in therapy, but they've been in therapy for 13 years. Like, as if I'm like, well, then clearly you have no idea what therapy is for. It's not.
So that person is a really good person who knows a lot of things about themselves and is willing to work on them, and has demonstrated a commitment to themselves and the people in their lives to be a full and whole person that is, you know, not a burden on the people around them.
Right. I don't understand the idea of like, I want to go to therapy so that I can like get an A+ in my report card and be done with it forever. Like, no, this is going to be like my life's work. And I think that the stuff that you're talking about with men and that kind of like boomer generation of how women are expected to like hold the relationship together, like it's just going to be passed down through generations. Like, even if like the boomer dad's son is like pretty woke and liberal and like sees women as equals and stuff, there's just like so many death by a thousand cuts moments.
So many of those dudes are just like, yeah, I'm a feminist because I know that girls can be girl bosses. Like they have this like very superficial like idea of what it means to be, I mean, woke is such a fucking loaded term, but like what it means to like be emotionally alive in modern times. And it's just like, yeah, ladies can do stuff now. I totally would vote for Hillary Clinton for president. And also, I believe the girl CEO is like cool and powerful. And it's like, that's not really what we're talking about here at all. That's not
right.
That is not what that's not what we care about, really.
And again, like, I want to make sure that I'm being as fair as possible to my ex about this stuff, because I see an attempt. Like, that's what's so hard about it is like, you see that like there's like, okay, I know that there's like a delta between me and everything I want to know about this stuff and like the way that I'm conditioned in this world. But it's and now, just to take it back to a more general sense, like I think that it just takes so much time and it's like so much work for some people. And it really is like a lifetime of work, which is why, yes, be in therapy for 13 years.
Yeah. My therapist told me on our last session that she thought I was on the verge of like a breakdown. And I was like, I don't feel that way at all. This is a big statement.
What?
Yeah, I mean, we don't have to make it about me. But yeah, I don't know. I have been, what have I been? I've been really frustrated that I can't concentrate, Linda. I feel like I can't concentrate on things, and it's really been driving me crazy. And I finally like got a proper psychiatrist instead of just going to the internet and Googling, I would like some antidepressants, please, and then finding a website that will give you the antidepressants, please, or whatever. Which is something I've been meaning to do for a while, just to find somebody to actually, you know, like, listen to me and understand my whole person and give me some continuity of care. And I didn't, like, I arrive with, like, hey, I'm kind of frustrated that I can't focus, and also I have these meds that I've been prescribed by people that don't know anything about me, and I'd like someone to, like, evaluate this, this situation. And I don't know, I had these, like, long conversations with my psychiatrist and my therapist about, like, this inability to focus, and my psychiatrist said, or not my psychiatrist, my therapist said to me, like, I've known you for 6 years, and I don't think that you are bipolar, but you are, like, exhibiting, like, what you're saying. If you came to me and said this as a new patient, I'd be like, this person is exhibiting symptoms of somebody who's bipolar and, like, having a manic episode. Because I just...
Oh, my God.
I want...
Do you think it's the meds that you were on?
No, I don't think so. I just feel like I am capable of so much more than I accomplish in my, like, everyday life. And, like, call it a midlife crisis, call it whatever you want. But, you know, my therapist, like, runs down all the things I do and is like, why should you expect to do more than this? This is a lot of things for a person to do. And I'm like, no, I can do more. I know I can do more. There's so much more I want to do. This is getting really off topic. But my point is just that.
No, this is great, Andy. We should keep talking about this.
I didn't mean to, like, derail your whole thing. My point is just that I've been in therapy for 6 years, and my therapist still says things to me that I'm like, oh, that's a very surprising thing for you to say, and gives me a lot of things to think about that I would not have thought about otherwise. Like, am I in a weird manic episode midlife crisis? Who knows?
Wow. So where were you at with that? I mean, whatever you're comfortable sharing, obviously.
I don't feel like I'm on the verge of a breakdown at all. And actually, I can cut this out if I want, but let's be real, Linda. This was actually kicked off by me talking about the fact that when you and I caught up, you felt like I was irritated, distant, maybe didn't want to, like, talk to you, wasn't having fun doing the podcast, which I did not feel at all. And, like, so I was giving off vibes I did not intend to give off. And we were, like, unpacking that. And she was just suggesting that maybe I'm, like, dealing with a lot of buried, repressed stress or anxiety that I'm, like, unable to acknowledge. And if anything, that just comes from, I don't know. The only thing I consciously feel is that, like, I have some days, Linda, and I wanted to get assessed for ADHD, right? And just because I wanted to know, like, I'm the kind of person that I just want to know everything. If they could, like, put me in a chamber and plug me with all these, you know, wires and sensors and shit for, like, a week, I would love to just have a giant report of all the shit about me, right? Like, I'm infinitely curious. I just want to know. So, so I had this, like, we'll call it, like, a moderate ADHD test, which the really involved ones are, like, you know, a whole day long, and they involve, like, your partner or someone close to you, and it's, like, really involved. This is only, like, 90 minutes of, like, you know, question and answer, basically. And the results of it were, like, no, you're, like, middle of the pack. You're, like, a normal person in terms of your, like, ability to focus on things. But something that really struck me from that was they were asking certain questions, and certain questions I had, like, and you can tell, obviously, when they're asking you the questions, like, if you just wanted to answer the way that someone with ADHD would answer, you know what the answer would be. But if you're honest with yourself, like, some of the questions, I was like, no, I don't suffer from that at all, right? Like, one of the things was, I have a hard time relaxing. And it's like, no, I'm fucking great at relaxing. I'm so good at, like, chilling out. It's like, I'm really, really good at that shit.
They don't relax so hard.
I know I'm really elevated right now, but I actually am very good at relaxing. And I have my partner to look at as a comparison, and she's, like, not at all ADHD. She's, like, very, very capable and functional and everything. But she also, like, has a hard time just turning off work brain, which I think is a very normal thing for lots of people. And I definitely do not. I can just, like, totally chill out and unplug and, like, do something, you know, whatever. Then they asked other questions that I was like, oh, yes, that is extremely me. God, what was one of them? One of them was a question that I never even would have guessed they would have asked. Like, I wouldn't have thought it was associated with ADHD at all. And I was like, that is me to a T. Like, that is the most relatable thing anyone has ever said to me, that question. And now I can't remember what it was, which maybe is indicative of some, you know, attention issues. But,
ADHD is interesting because the idea is that, like, oh, you just lose focus all the time, but it's really more complicated than that. It's just that your brain is extremely active and it's looking for a lot of things to do. And so that can show up in, like, a myriad of ways.
where for me, when I finally am stimulated by something, I really focus in on it and I can like hyper focus. So my ADHD like is firing on all cylinders. And then the minute I'm bored, I'm like standing and stretching and like,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Walking around. Yeah.
And I have that hyper focus sometimes. Right. And when it comes to like work, it always comes into play when it's like, oh, there's a big deadline. Something just has to happen. There's no longer any leeway. And like Linda, like 3 weeks ago, I literally built like a whole ass website in like 6 hours. There was a meeting at noon and I got up at 6 to get this work done for this meeting, this presentation at noon. And I did what is like genuinely you would like spec as like 2 weeks worth of work for like a developer in like a morning. Cause I was just like firing on all cylinders and that is not sustainable. Right. Like after that, I went and took a big nap because I was like exhausted.
What else are you going to do? Exactly.
But is 30% of that not sustainable? Right. Like if I could have 30% of that every day, I would get so much more done. And another thing I was saying to my therapist, which is that some people like don't know what to do with their free time. This is like a common refrain. I feel like a lot of people are just like, oh, I don't know what I would do if I didn't have a job. Like, I need to like have something to like focus on. And I was saying to my therapist that I have felt since I was like 14, like, oh, there's so many things I want to do. I am for sure going to die before I get to do them all. Like, there's just like, life is too short. I felt it when I was like a child. I was like, there's so many things I want to do. I'm never going to have enough time to do them. And so the idea that like, I am unable to harness my like work ethic or focus or discipline or whatever to like get more of the things I want to do in life done. It's like a fucking awful feeling.
Yeah, it really is. I feel that big time. And that's why I'm trying to do so much. And I feel a little scattered sometimes.
Anyway, Linda, how's the config conference for Figma and product designers? Are you networking and meeting a lot of cool people and shaking hands with the big wigs?
It's just like a bunch of really scared introverts like freaking out about how many people are around. It's good to be in SF right now. I will share my real experience, which is that I had this big terrible thing happen. Well, whatever. It happened again, so not quite as bad as the first time it happened. But and then it felt like a really nice soft landing pad with like friends that I haven't seen in a long time. And honestly, like the first night that I got here, I saw all these like old faces that I fucking love and just like had on the first day. I had a coffee with Rasmus. Like we used to work together at Dropbox and had dinner with him and a few people and like went to this party where a bunch of my old colleagues were. And it just felt like a high school reunion, but like only with the people that you like really want to catch up with. Sure. and then I like saw those friends who like when I lived here, like the friend who would just come like lay on my floor while I did my laundry and like just kind of play my guitar and hang out and like feels like a brother to me kind of friend. And so as soon as I was around those people, I was just feeling so just comfortable and like at home. And it was just awesome. So after that night, I genuinely was like, oh, it's not going to get any better than that. Like that was the peak. Mm-hmm. And from here, it's going to be all like cold introductions to strangers and everyone's going to get drained super quick. And
Hi, I'm Linda.
How are you even? That, by the way, is my impression of my freshman class typography teacher.
Really? There you go. Anybody need a brand managed?
I had this impression where he'd be like, everyone take out your placa and apply your... it's 6 picas long. Oh, yeah, pica, that's pica, not pica, good. Pica. And he'd go, that's nice. I digress. So the next day after that super great day, I just like went on a hike in the morning because I was like, I want to like really let this energy sink in and feel myself and figure out what next stage of life there's going to be. So there's a lot to be excited about. It's just like that somebody just shook the bottle that I am in and everything is settling to the bottom. And
it's a very poetic way of putting it, Linda.
Yes. And so I know that I'll land somewhere totally fine. And I always have. But
you're pissed off at the person that shook the bottle. Hey, fuck you. I'm in this bottle.
Why'd you have to shake the bottle?
I fucking live in this bottle. What the fuck?
Hey, someone's in here. Rude.
So rude. So incredibly rude.
I know. So that's where I'm at. But now I'm like, man, should I have vented so hard? Is it a mistake? Should we not put this on the internet? I don't know.
It's up to you, Linda. Why don't you sleep on it?
I'll sleep on it.
And there's a 1% chance it's not even recorded anyway. We'll see. I'm pretty sure it is, but you know.
Our most vulnerable podcast yet. And whoops.
Boy. But yeah, everybody should be in therapy. Here's a question for you, a bigger question.
Yes.
I often feel like everybody should be in therapy in the sense that at the very least, everybody that has the access to it and the time to do it would really benefit from therapy. And if everyone was doing this, it would make society better.
Yep.
Do you think in an ideal world, we would simply have a society that didn't require everyone to be in therapy, where like these kinds of self-reflective conversations were a part of normal friendships, a part of normal social groups? Or do you think that like this is a better model for society for everybody to have like a, you know, fast forward to Linda's ideal world and a third of all employed people are therapists, right? Because everybody in the whole world's in therapy and has their own like separate time, and all the therapists are also in therapy with other therapists. Like, is that actually how we should do it, or do you think that it's a like bandage, it's a panacea for a like broken society?
Well, I think that society should start to embrace mental health as a right and as something that everyone needs. And I don't think that our school's curriculum covers this really at all. Like, I think that when you're a child, like a toddler, they might teach you like happy, sad, angry, et cetera. Like, and I think there's a lot of, you know, media content that takes the, like Mr. Rogers was our generation's emotions teacher and guide. But then after that age, after like early childhood development, you just kind of stop talking about it and hearing about it, and it becomes lame, or it becomes in super hyper toxic masculine parts of the country. You would be just so made fun of for even bringing that stuff up beyond the age of, I don't know, 10 or something as a boy. Mm-hmm. So I really think that like, yeah, our society does need to change its approach to this. I was thinking about and talking at a little dinner party a few weeks ago with this guy where he was like, I really want just emotions to be taught all the way through school. Just identifying them because they're really complex and they mask other things a lot of the time. And your psyche will constantly surprise you. We're always growing and changing, and I'm always learning new things about myself. Or like, you know, with this like layoff situation, I've experienced emotions that I've never really felt before, or that I'm aware of, but they haven't. So I don't really have training in my arsenal on like how to work with them.
I mean, every experience is like to some degree unique. So it's not like you're experiencing the same emotions copy pasted over and over again ever. It's
right.
So having a like language to describe and understand and articulate even just your own self, like what you're feeling, is
right.
Is no easy task.
Yeah, and just to be like, oh, I think I'm experiencing shame right now. And for me, shame or like insecurity is honestly, it's an indicator that I haven't stood up for myself recently, or I've kind of let somebody walk all over me. So what I really need to be feeling is anger. And so if I can tap into my own self-worth and identify what I should be angry about, then my shame goes away. And I can like find a way to release that anger in a way that's like healthy. So I'll like go on a big hike and like make myself feel really big and strong. And then maybe I'll cry at some point. Mm-hmm. And yeah, but I think most people would just be like, I don't know, I'm just a victim and I feel shameful a lot. Or like somebody who experiences anger a lot might just be like, you know, in anger management, or they're an angry person. But there's a lot of stuff that could be underneath that that needs to be addressed a lot more deeply. So,
yeah, I don't know. Even just being able to, like, I've been trying to get better at just acknowledging when, like, I am getting, like, irritated by things I shouldn't be getting irritated by, and just trying to understand why. Like, that's such a small thing. But, like, some days, you know, the sound of someone chewing will just, like, send me off the edge. And I'm sensitive to that overall, like, on every day of my life. But, like, that's a very good little, like, canary in the coal mine for, like, how am I at overall? Like, how are we doing overall here? Yeah. How angry are we going to get if somebody, like, loudly chews an apple with their mouth open? Are we going to, like, go to fight or flight mode, like, lose our absolute shit? Or what are we going to do here?
Oh, my God. I was in my wilderness training class last weekend, and somebody was chewing an apple in my ear. And I was like, I got this. This is okay. I can do this.
Deep breaths. That was actually one of the questions, too, they asked on the ADHD thing that I was surprised was asked. But they were like, are you sensitive to noises? And I was like, extremely sensitive to noises. If somebody, you know, is eating their food and, like, their teeth are clanking against the fork with every bite, I'm done. Ooh. I'm out of here.
Nerves up the spine.
Oh, yeah. I remember feeling a lot of shame when we got sued, and it was like a weird emotion. Oh, yeah. Because it was like, well, look, we're not getting sued legitimately, so, like, why should I feel shame about this? Like, we couldn't control this. And but just like all of the societal baggage of, like, oh, you've been sued by somebody. Like, you know, I've always spent my entire life assuming that, like, people get sued were, like, mostly the, like, perpetrators or the bad guys or whatever. And all of a sudden it was like, wait a minute, I got sued? What the fuck? And there's, like, a lot of weird emotions to process at that point, too, of just, like,
right.
I feel this way. And I don't think it's a valid way to feel. And so it's very easy to try and, like, dismiss it. But it's also real. It's how I feel.
Right. Ugh, Andy. Yeah, that was a tough time.
Sure was. It's funny, I feel like when I look at yours and my life, I talk about you a lot, you're a good friend of mine, and when I try to explain, like, who you are, I'm like, Linda is kind of like if someone similar to me, like, made the opposite decision at almost every major, like, life point than I did, right? Like, I feel like we work in a similar kind of space, I feel like we have some similarities, but it's like, you have moved over to so many different cities and, like, lived in different places and been part of different communities and worked at different jobs. And I have the same tight-knit community. I mean, it's always evolving and changing, but, like, a very similar tight-knit community that I had, you know, in college, basically, and have stayed in the same city. And it's funny, like, I feel like your big life moments have been of one nature and mine have been of another nature, where you, it's often like you're out doing something, and me, it's like things are done to me, and then that's how I have big life experiences. Stuff happens to me, and that marks the chapters in my life, where for you it's like you've done a thing and that marks a chapter in your life.
I think that's a really interesting way to think about it, because I think you're right, but I also think that I, like, make sure you give yourself some credit. You're definitely doing a lot. And I
didn't mean that to sound to come off like self-deprecating, because I don't think I'm, like, inert. Like, I'm very active, obviously. Right. Like, I've started the company that I run, so, like, that's obviously not just me, like, letting stuff happen to me. But I think I trend towards, like, maintaining or, like, stabilizing, and a lot of my actions are to that end. And I think you often are like, let's shake this up. Let's shake up my bottle a little bit, because I want to be in a better bottle or whatever.
Yeah,
the bottle
metaphor
is breaking
ever,
down a little bit.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I think that, like, but I'm always following something. I feel like I'm led by some sort of, like, intuition or, like, a value system where, like, if things don't feel right, it's really hard for me to leave it alone. I'm a picker. And it, like,
right.
This is also something that makes it really hard for me to, like, it's hard to just, like, leave something alone. And so if I see that there's something wrong with it, I'm like, but I really need to fix it.
Which I think is a great attribute. And honestly, I think I have it. That's how it feels like. It feels to me like oftentimes you, like, speed run relationships a little bit, which is to say that, like, you get,
like, the last year. Yes. Like,
I think before that too. I think going back a while, I feel like you will oftentimes, like, get into somebody, like, give yourself entirely up. Like I said, be totally vulnerable, like, you know, completely open, like accessible, like put your all into it, like right out of the gate, which a lot of people like just don't ever do, right? So many people are just superficial, right, and they don't ever like really reveal their true selves until like 12 months in or whatever. So you don't, you're like right out of the gate, you're like fully into it. And then I feel like you are picking at it in the sense that you're like trying to figure out, like, is this going to be a long-term sustainable thing in a way that so many people don't. So many people are just like, oh yeah, whatever. Like, you know, we make out and hang out with each other and we have the same taste in movies. And so like, that's a cool relationship that, right, I have.
And it's, I'm just going to get like slowly, like really miserable, or like maybe not, you know, I think some relationships do work really well. yeah.
You really sound like you're trying to talk yourself into that as much as the listener, but but yeah,
no, I mean, like my sister is like a perfect example of this. Like, her and her husband have been together since like college, like first few years of college. And their relationship is, I think, maybe one of the reasons that I am like this. It's because
you have a model for.
I have a model for what a healthy, happy, sustainable relationship looks like. And it's not perfect. Like, they still bicker every now and then, and they, you know, they both have like very unique personalities and needs, and they've found a way to make it work for both of them. And I really look up to it. And I see that like neither of them has compromised on what they ultimately want out of this world. And so
that's beautiful.
Yeah. And so I'm just like, well, I'm not going to stop until I've found my version of that. And I just, sometimes in a relationship, I see like too much compromise. Like, I wouldn't be fully embodying who I want to become, or I wouldn't feel supported in becoming that person, or whatever it is. And so relationships be hard, yo.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, especially when you're really putting yourself out there like that. Like, I think that's why so many people don't, because that makes it harder. It's more vulnerable. It's more intense. And a lot of people are just, right, not willing to do that. They're much more, they're playing it safe. And yeah, but I have a lot of respect for the way you do it, Linda. I think,
thanks, Andy. I'm tempted to just be like, never again. I'm not doing it anymore. But you know, in 2 weeks I'll be like, so I have a crush. Mm-hmm.
That is what I would expect. Yes. But
never giving up hope.
Never give up hope, Linda. Cause yeah, you deserve what you want. And
thanks,
you, I think you are going about getting it in the best way you can. Like, you know what your needs are and you are seeking to have them met. And if other people are not that self-aware or don't know what they want or don't know how to articulate it, then you know what? Maybe they missed the boat.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, man, I love you. I really could use a hug right now.
I love you too, and it sucks you're on the other coast.
I'd hug the shit out of you.
Yeah.
But I'll be back on your coast today.
Well, let's see each other soon. Either I'll come to New York or we'll figure something out.
Yeah. Send me this recording so I can listen to it.
Sure.
See if we can put it on the air. I will do that.
On the 99% right, chance that it was in fact recorded. I'll send it to you.
All right. I love you, dude.
I love you too. And your righteous anger is warranted. It's righteous.
Thank you.
And also, I gotta say too, forever. I hope it's not overstepping. Righteous anger on you is pretty hot. I'm not gonna lie.
Thank you.
All right.
All right.
Have a good one.
Have a good day. Bye.